Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Parsha Perspectives for Tazria. I wanted to share with you a question that was asked to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. A question that you've heard of, and I'd like to share with you the answer and a number of problems with that answer. The Gemara Nidah Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, we find the students of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai asking the following question. In Parshas Tazria, we learn about a woman who gave birth, an Isha Yoledes. And we know that Nisha Yoledes has to bring a Korban Chatas. And he said to them, the Talmid the Master, Shimon Bar Yochai, Mipnei Ma'amra Torah, why does the Torah say that a woman who gave birth has to bring a Korban Chatas? What in the world did she do wrong? To the contrary, she did a wonderful thing bearing a child, by carrying a child. Why does she have to bring a Korban Chatas? So Shimon Bar Yochai says ever so cryptically that it could be that as this woman is enduring her birth pangs, the excruciating pains of labor, it could very well be that she would jump up and swear to never again be with her husband. And because of that oath that she makes, therefore the Torah says she should bring a Korban Chatas. That's the sin that we're concerned with. I'd like to ask four questions on that response of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that a woman has to bring a Korban Chatas because of that oath that she might have called out as she was enduring the pain to never be with her family again. Four questions. Three of them the Gemara itself asks. Rabbi Yosef, one of the Amoraim, asks on this response of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Number one, you're saying that she should bring a korban to atone for her shavua, for the oath that she took? We have a rule when it comes to korbanos that you make for breaking a shavua, for breaking an oath. If indeed she's going to break this oath afterwards and return to her family life, the rule is that you only bring a korban if you violate an oath b'shogig by mistake. But here she's making whatever decision she has to go back to her family is b'mezid, is intentional. She's returning to her family. So whatever violation of that oath that's occurring is intentional, and there should not be a korban. That's number one. Number two, what happens when a Jew makes an oath that they can't keep? What is the solution? How do you deal with that? Well, you go to the Rav, you go to the Beis Din, and the Beis Din tries to find a charata, a pesach, what we call in Nedarim areas. You try to find a pesach that says, if you only knew this, you would never have made that oath in the first place. And you show that you demonstrate the regret that you would never have taken that oath initially, and therefore the oath shouldn't be binding. That's how we deal with an oath. We don't bring a korban. Korbanos don't solve the problem of making an oath that's binding. That's question number two. Number three, if indeed she made an oath and we have a problem with the oath that she made when she was in those labor pains. She made an oath, and because of that she has to bring a korban chatas, well, that's not the korban that you bring when you make an oath. If you make an oath that is broken, you bring a different korban. You bring a sheep or a goat, and this woman, this Yoledes, brings a bird korban. It's a different korban entirely. So how in the world could you say that she's punished or she has to bring, she's not punished, she has to bring a korban chatas after giving birth because she made this oath? Finally, and this is my favorite question, the Ramban asks the following question, the Kli Yakar asks the same question, but before I ask the question, let me present to you the following scenario. Let's say there's a beautiful house that you want to buy. And it's a beautiful, beautiful house. There's only one problem with the house, and that it's way too expensive. You simply can't afford it. But it's a beautiful house and you love to buy it. So what's the solution? The solution is very simple. Listen to this. You take out a mortgage that you can't even, you know, that you could barely afford, that you could never afford. A mortgage that's way beyond anything you could ever afford. You buy the house, and then, right before the first payment is due, you stand up in shul, you give a clap on the beamer, you make a public announcement, you send out on WhatsApp that I hereby make an oath that I'm not going to pay my mortgage. It's an oath, it's a shavua, it's a neder. Then you pick up the phone and you dial the bank, the creditor, the mortgage broker, the mortgage bank, and you say, you know, hello, sir, madam, I know I have a very large payment due tomorrow, which I so much want to pay, but I apologize. I made an oath this morning. I made a neder, I made a shavua, that I'm not going to be able to pay, that I'm not going to pay this mortgage. So I apologize. I'm simply unable to pay the mortgage that I took out. My apologies. Of course, that's absurd. Why is it absurd? Because you can't make an oath or a promise or shvua on saying that you're obligated to, that you're meshubah to, that you're responsible for. if this is something that's part of your obligation, so you can't just say, I'm not going to do it. So asks the Ramban and the Kliyaka, what does it mean that the woman, as she's giving birth, makes a shua, I'm never going to be with my family again? Out of the pain, that, if as part of a family, she doesn't have the right to say, I'm just never going to be with my family again. That's just beyond the rights that a person has if they're part of a family. So therefore, the oath didn't even get off the ground. It didn't begin. And therefore, why do you have to bring a korban chatas for violating this oath if the oath wasn't valid in the very first place? That's the question that the Ramban asks. You know, we have a similar model, a similar paradigm in a different part of the Torah. When it comes to a nazir, and a nazir finishes successfully, a woman or a man who become a nazir could be either a man or a woman, who successfully complete their 30 days of nazirus. They did not become tamei, they did not have their hair cut, they did not do anything wrong, they didn't drink any wine. They have to bring a korban chatas. And the question, of course, is, what in the world did... We're not talking about a nazir who became tamei, or did something wrong, who maybe should have to bring a korban chatas for some mistake or something wrong that they did. Here the Torah tells us in Parshas Naso that they successfully complete the nazirus and they still do bring a korban chatas. What did they do wrong? What's bad about a nazir? So Rashi makes one suggestion that we're familiar with, Al Shetzir Atzma Min Hayayin, right? It's not the Jewish way to avoid, to separate ourselves, to be ascetics, to separate ourselves from the pleasures of the world. And a nazir who went ahead and separated themselves from wine and doesn't want to enjoy, yeah, there's enough that Hashem told us not to, you know, to stay away from, to, you know, Hashem restricted us sufficiently. We don't have to add on additional restrictions. That's what Rashi says. But the Ramban says something very different. And one of the Rebbeim and Yeshiva of Yaakov Neuberger suggested that the Ramban that I'm about to share with you might also answer our question regarding a Yoledes, a woman who gave birth, why they have to bring a Chatas. Says the Ramban, why is it that a Nazir has to bring a Korban Chatas? What did the Nazir do wrong? Says the Ramban, the Nazir doesn't have to bring a Korban Chatas because they were a Nazir. To the contrary, being a Nazir is an elevated position. Being a Nazir is an incredible thing. The Pasuk in Parshas Naso says, Kodeshu Lashem. He's co-sanctified to Hashem. There's a Pasuk in Amos that the Ramban cites. The Ramban, Hashem promises that in the future, the Jewish people, Hashem will take in the Jewish people and I'll set up your children to be Nevi'im and your young men to be Nazirim. You see that there's an equation between Nevuah and Nazirus. It's an incredible, elevated, exalted level to be a Nazir. So can't be, says the Ramban, that there's something wrong about being a Nazir for which a person has to bring a Chatas. But to the exact opposite, says Ramban, it's the fact that a person is finishing their Nazirus for which they have to bring a Korban. It's the fact that while a man or a woman was a Nazir or a Nazira, they were so elevated, they were so holy, they were so exalted, and now they're floating down back to, I'm scared to say the word reality, back to normal life, without that sanctity, without there being a Nazir v'kadosh le'lokav, for that falling down and coming back to reality, that's why they have to bring the korban chatas. Because when somebody's on such a high level, they should want to maintain that high level forever, keep that level, and not fall down, not become a regular person again. And for coming down to be that regular person, for that, a korban chatas is brought. Not for the status of Nazirus per se, but for the falling from Nazirus to normalcy. With that, Yaakov Neuberger suggested maybe we could understand the same idea applies that the Ramban suggested by Nazir to Yoledes as well. A woman, when she was a Yoledes, when she carried a baby, wasn't doing anything wrong. To the contrary, she's bringing another neshama to the world. She's partnering with Hashem in creating life. What greater activity, what greater productivity could a human being be involved with and create another life? I remember there was once a pregnant woman once came to me and said, Rabbi Orlin, you know, while she was pregnant, you know, I'm lying in bed half a day. I go to sleep for the night at 7:30 p.m. I feel so unproductive. So I said to her, ma'am, I hear what you're saying, but I have to be honest. I don't think I could ever, ever be as productive as you are. Bringing a life to the world is not unproductive. Bringing a life to the world is the greatest thing that a human being could do. And here you have this Yoledes, this woman who is carrying her baby for 9 months. She's on an exalted plane of creating life. And all of a sudden she has a baby, which is Baruch Hashem wonderful. She becomes a mother. It's beautiful. But she's no longer creating life as she was for the past 9 months. And perhaps, as Ramban explained by the Nazir, that for the falling down, for that floating down of levels from the Nazir to be regular, so too the Yoledet, this way, after she gives her birth to her baby, and she falls down from being a pregnant woman who's creating life to be just another, a wonderful woman, a mother, Baruch Hashem, but no longer in that elevated dimension of carrying a baby, of creating life, for that, the Karban Chatzis is brought. Not because anything is wrong. Not like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that she did something wrong by when she gave birth. But the Chatzis is brought for the status, that is, when a person's religious, spiritual status falls down, for that, they bring a Karban Chatzis. I think this idea, you know, I mentioned in Shul that this idea is somewhat relatable. You know, in Shul, we were, as I mentioned earlier, in Shul, we were wearing masks for the past, since 8, 9, 10 months, whatever it was, since we came back to Shul, only masks. And masking was very difficult. It was uncomfortable, suffocating. It's hard to breathe. Last week, one of the senators on Capitol Hill, I don't remember if it was a senator or a congressman, said it was an assault on our personal liberty, an assault on the Constitution to have to wear masks. A necessary evil, if you want to call it. So now people are carefully, you know, starting to throw away that suffocating yoke, hopefully still with some care and some social distance, even if you got the vaccine, just being a little bit aware, but Baruch Hashem. But I wonder if maybe wearing the masks, at least in shul in that context, it had a certain maila. What's the possible maila of not being able to see people? What's the possible maila of not being able to breathe normally? Well, as funny as it sounds, I know for those people who haven't been in shul for the past year, it's hard to realize, but if you're wearing a mask, you can't talk to the person next to you during davening. You can't talk during Kriyas HaTorah. There's an elevation of the Kavod HaBeis Knesses. When everybody is wearing a mask and focused only on their davening and nothing else, they can't even see people's smirks or people's laughter around them, as painful as it is, but at least Kedushas HaBeis Knesses is elevated. So now, in a certain sense, that, you know, shuls are taking off the masks, we're at a certain very specific level, we're falling down to be unmasked people. And maybe it's, we have to bring our Karban Chatzis. What's the Karban Chatzis? I'll tell you what a Karban Chatzis. I'll tell you what I mentioned in shul, beautiful story, that somebody in our neighborhood, our shul, a very special story. I don't want to mention the person's name, but somebody who we know. Somebody who we know, a very special person who's a very loving person and beloved person. A big schmoozer, somebody who loves everybody, everybody loves them. And their love for humanity and for the Jewish people also expressed itself in davening. And they used to schmooze a lot during davening. They used to talk a lot during davening. And they would schmooze with everybody around them. And then at some point, years ago, their business had a terrible fire. Their property burnt down. Their business property burnt down. And instead of blaming this or blaming that, this individual took it the way a Jew should take it, as a Jew ought, as an opportunity to grow. And this person who had the fire made a commitment not to speak during davening. How does a person change their personality on a dime? Somebody who's an outgoing, garrulous, you know, spirited person, how could all of a sudden you just change your the way you live, the way you die? Three times a day they go to shul, they're schmoozing, and all of a sudden on a dime just cold turkey, not talk again? That's the koach of making a commitment. That's what a sacrifice is. Self-sacrifice, when you take something that's not easy and you commit to it, that commitment is what sacrifice is. And that's what I mentioned in Shul this Shabbos, that could be our Karban Chatzis, as we're floating down from that elevated level of being wearing masks and being quiet and keeping the Kvod HaBeis Knesses so elevated for the past 10 months. Now we're taking off the masks and there's the opportunity for people to, you know, speak in Shul, speak during Lenin, which is a terrible thing. Now we have the opportunity to make a commitment. But it doesn't just apply in Shul to being careful and quiet in a person's during davening, during Lenin. I think there's another application that applies even for those of us who are not in shul necessarily. Because, believe it or not, there's another mask in the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu wears a mask, but there's one more mask besides Moshe Rabbeinu. Does anyone know where else in the Torah it talks about wearing a mask? And believe it or not, it's our same parasha, Parshas Tazria. A little bit after, it talks about a woman giving birth. It talks about tzara'as, and a person who gets tzaraas. What happens? There's tzaraas habayis, there's tzaraas habigadim, and there's tzaraas targuf. And when a person gets tzaraas, there are a number of halachas that they have to follow. Tamei tamei yikra, they have to tell people, stay away from me, I have tzaraas. One of the things that a person who has tzaraas has to do, the pasuk says in the Torah, al safam ya'ateh, on their mustache, over their mouth, they should wrap. They have to cover their mouth. They have to wear a mask, believe it or not. That's one of the halachas of a mitzora. Al safam, safam is a mustache, ya'ateh, they should cover over. That's a pasuk in Chumash. What's the point of a person who said tzaraas, that they have to stay distant from others, they have to say, stay away from me, tamei, tamei, yikra, stay away, I'm tamei, and they have to wear a mask. Says the Kli Yakar, it's very simple. The mask is to remind them that they use their mouth for not good things, and if that's how they use their mouth, they should cover their mouth. If they got tzaraas because of Lashon Hara, let them wear a mask and not speak Lashon Hara. I think the lesson is clear. As long as we were wearing masks, it was a little bit harder for us to say Lashon Hara. Sometimes Lashon Hara is not just with our mouths. Lashon Hara could also be with a smirk of the eyes. You twist your mouth in a certain way and you twist your eyes in a certain way. We lost that behind the mask. You couldn't see that. You couldn't smirk at people in that, I know better than you type of air of arrogance. And now, Baruch Hashem, we're getting to a point that we're able to take off masks in a safe way. And there's the concern, the risk that Lashon Hara could begin again or begin to fester. The ability to smirk at other people and to be a little bit haughty, the way we look our put our eyes on others. And that's why we're going to also need to bring our Korban Chatas. After the Yoledes brings her Korban Chatas, the Nazir brings his Korban Chatas, his or her Korban Chatas, because they're floating down to a new reality that is one of more plebeian reality, one that's not as exalted. So we too, we're at a stage that we are new opportunities to face of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or using our mouths in the wrong way. And perhaps we could bring our Korban Chatas by making that sacrifice, by making that commitment. Just like that gentleman did after he had his fire to not talk ever again during davening. We can make a commitment, wherever it is, to be careful with our speech. Make sure that we use our mouth. In the same way we were careful with our mouth for not to breathe in things that we want to breathe in or give out little particles from our mouth that shouldn't go out to hurt others. Well, just like it's true on a microbial level, it's certainly true on a spiritual level. We shouldn't use our mouths to bring in and hear, or our ears, to hear that which shouldn't come into ourselves. We shouldn't let out of our mouths any hurtful, not microbes, but any words that could be hurtful to somebody. Now's the time to make a commitment. That's what a korban is. A korban is a sacrifice. When you commit to do something, even if it's not natural, that's where commitments come in. We should be zocha b'ez Hashem. Hashem should give us the strength to have the inner fortitude to keep our commitments, to commit to use our mouths, not just to stay away from the negative, not just netzor l'shon chameira, v'sasech midaber mirma, but also, not just the surah meira, but also the asey tov, to the ba'kei shalom v'radfehu, to use our mouth to pursue goodness, to say, give compliments to another, pick up the phone, and every day, call somebody, just say, hi, how are you? I haven't spoken to you in a little while. It's good to hear your voice. Pick up the phone and say, I just want to know, I appreciate our friendship. Pick up the phone and say, I have an idea, I wanted to share something, a nice thought with you. Use our mouths and make a commitment to use our mouths once a day, twice, whatever it is, make some kind of commitment to use our mouths l'tov, and that will be our Korban Chatas. We should be zocha with that, to be zocha very speedily, to be able to bring Korbanos, all the Korbanos, from here of Yameinu, Amen. Thanks all for joining. It's wonderful to